Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your awesome love and power. Today, as we look at your sovereignty, help us to understand the characteristics of that. Help us to realize that it is in you that we have all of our needs met. That it's not just in your promises, it's not just in your word, it's not through our prayers that it's in you. It's in your heart of love. Help us to fall deeper in love with you today, and help us to respect you more. Help us to appreciate how much you love us and care for us, and help us to see that these things that are coming out of your word are coming from your heart. And help us to feel that heart and to relax in your hands and trust you with everything that is within us. And we ask it in Jesus' name that you will speak to our hearts and through the power of your word, and that you will transform our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't really want to just read this passage to you in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I really want us to just spend some time looking at it slowly. The Bible is saying here in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then it goes into explaining what that attitude was like. Who? Being in very nature God. We're talking about that relationship of God as the Trinity combines together in unity of one God in one mind in total unity, that all of a sudden God, Jesus Christ, pulls out and does not consider equality with the Father something to be hung on to. We need to consider the fact that God is asking us to have the same attitude in our own heart and life. That regardless of what it is that we consider is ours, regardless of what we consider that we have the rights to in the promises of God's word, that we would have the same attitude. Because there is a certain element going on in the church today that has caused us to get to a place to where that we are talking about the power of prayer. Now, I understand that to a certain degree, I understand how that works, but it's important to us to not see prayer as being the power, but God that we pray to as being the power. That there's an attitude in the church today that the promises of God are the place where we stand. And to understand that the God who made those promises is the issue. Who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. What an attitude. Taking the very nature of a servant. This is a relationship of the Son with the Father. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, soon, I don't know for sure this is going to be next Sunday, but probably next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the mighty power of God operating in us humans. And it can sometimes be like someone handing us a machine gun. You say, okay, all right, that's what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, we've got power. All of a sudden, God is using us in a mighty way. Do you ever wonder why they have never had cars that were designed so that 10-year-olds could drive them? That they didn't make smaller seats and smaller steering wheels and everything closer together so that a 10-year-old could be able to drive a car? You ever wondered why they didn't do that? Because they shouldn't drive cars. It wouldn't be good for them to drive a car because they're not quite adjusted enough in their thinking, in the maturity, in the level of their training, in their ability to understand the responsibilities that go along with that car. Because that car can be a mode of transportation, or that car can be a weapon. Now, as a 10-year-old rides their bicycle all over the hillside and has a great time just going wherever they want to go, and then they get into a car, you can't do that. You have to stay on the road. You have to follow all of the signs. You have to be responsible to do those things that is required of you to do in studying and learning what the rules are of that relationship. What God is dealing with human beings is like the reason why we have attendance in the nursery. Can you imagine what a nursery would be like if they took all the attendants out of the nursery and just let the kids do their own thing? Somebody would have all the toys. There'll be someone in there who became king. And would have all of the toys because they were able to say, "Mine," louder than anyone else. And have all those toddlers in there running their own show. This kind of like what God is asking us not to do here on this planet. He's asking us to realize that we're really not qualified to run the show of the things of God by means of our own wisdom. Because the power of God is the power of the Almighty God. And that power has to be brought under His control. It becomes important for us to realize that we reach a certain place in our life to where that our problems, our needs, our situations become paramount in our thinking. Regardless of what our problems are, they draw us inward. That's what pain is basically designed for, is for us to realize that there's something wrong going on somewhere in our body and us realize that that situation exists there, and it draws our attention of our entire body to it. There were times in my life where I would get a pain and I would be able to think a little while and think, let's see now, how did I get that pain in my leg? And I'd think, well, that's right, I ran into the side of a desk and that's where that pain came from. Later on in life, though, I had a pain and I could not think of a reason why it was there. It was just a pain that just showed up in my body. And I hadn't hit anything, hadn't run into anything. It was just a pain. And I thought, what's going on here? Now, I remember Christy and I were at the doctor's office one day and she was talking about a pain that she had that just wouldn't go away. And I'm telling you, he got a little bit of a fear in his eyes, and he looked at her very seriously, and he said, "Don't let that stop you." I didn't say it that slow, but he said, "Don't let that stop you." And I thought, what are you talking about? If you hurt, sometimes you'll limp. If you hurt, sometimes you don't want to get out of bed. If you hurt, sometimes you don't want to go out and do those things that you know you need to do because you're in pain. Don't let that stop you. Well, the issue here is for us to not let that focus our attention. Our own personal needs have to be met. And it is important for those needs to be met because the Bible says that we are going to comfort others with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. Now, there's a lot of comforts in there, but just think about it, that you cannot give what you do not have. So it is true that we love our neighbor as ourself. It's true that we do meet the needs of other people on the basis of how much God has met our needs. But it is also true that we cannot so love ourselves that that's all that matters. There has to be that transition point where we take those things that are happening in a dynamic way in our own life and start to bring them out to the needs of the other people around us to where that we can actually see other people's needs and feel their pain. And so we look at John 5:30, and the Bible says, "By myself I can do nothing." Now that's Jesus talking. It doesn't make any sense. He's God. He's the creator of the universe. What in the world is he talking about? "By myself I can do nothing." He's talking about a relationship with the Heavenly Father that he is trying to bring us into. He's trying to say to us, there's this relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father, and I'm going to expose you to all these promises of God. I'm going to show you that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I'm going to show you that you have power and that you're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to show you that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And when I show them to you, you need to bring that power into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. I judge only as I hear. In other words, he's saying, I take all of those truths of the Heavenly Father and I bring them into my life, but I then bow my knee before my Heavenly Father and say, okay, I can have what things soever I desire when I pray, but how do you want me to use that passage of Scripture? What's your will for my life? Now, it's important for you to understand that there's another whole group of people who go around saying, if it be your will, heal somebody. If it be your will, bless me. If it be your will, help me with this situation. I'm not talking about that. That sounds really humble, and it negates the presence and power of God in your life because it's your responsibility to know what his will is. Why? Well, because we have a relationship with him. What Jesus is saying, I judge only as I hear. Thank you. Got one that can read. I judge only as I hear. It's getting better. We got more that can read. I judge only as I
hear.
Are you hearing God today? Is he talking to you? I have people who will say to me, well, the devil said this, and the devil told me that, and the devil said this, and the devil's making me do this. And I say, well, what did God say? Oh, I'd never hear from him. Well, that's not good. Is that a good relationship? You like being in a close, intimate relationship with the devil? Or would you rather have an intimate relationship with God? What is God saying? Do you know why that every person that Jesus laid his hands on got healed? Now listen to this scripture. Jesus couldn't do many mighty miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. That means quite simply that he didn't heal everybody. But every person he prayed for got healed. Why? Because he only prayed for those that the Father told him to pray for. Those who were not ready, those who could not receive it, those who didn't have the faith for it, those people who he would lay his hands on and pray for them or command them to be healed and wouldn't be healed, and then walk away and say, see there, I told you that stuff doesn't work, and brings discredit to the Almighty God. That didn't happen in the life of Jesus. Why? Because I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself. It's not all about me. Christy tells me that all the time. It's not all about you. What does she mean by that? It's not all about us, is it? The world doesn't gravitate and rotate around us, does it? It's not only us. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves, so we have to have self-love. But to love our neighbor as ourselves means that we have to take that self-love and put it out to the needs of the other people. I seek not to please myself, but him, the Father in heaven, who sent me. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it means do not lean on your own understanding. Isn't that heavy? If you check that out in the dictionary, it means do not lean on your own understanding. We can study this out however we want to. We can analyze it and try to segment it and take it all apart and say, well, what does that really mean? Well, it really means do not lean on your own understanding. Well, then why did he give us a brain? So that you would be smart enough to not lean on your own understanding. Why did God give me a brain? So that you could at least communicate with God. Why did God give you a brain? So that you would understand that He's smarter than you. Why did God give you a brain? So that you will be able to look to Him and it would mean something to you. It's all up to us to realize that God gave us this mind. God gave us our choices. God gave us our opportunities. All of these things are laid out for us so that we can analyze the situation and say, okay, my brain, God's brain, my brain, God's brain, my brain, God's brain. What should I choose? You say, well, it's a no-brainer. I choose God. Well, good use of your brain. Because you have tapped into not leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. From that moment on, all of a sudden, your life is being brought into the care and the love and the movement of the power and presence of God. From that moment on, you start to feel God's presence and power. I'll tell you the reason why God is moving in a mighty way in this church is because people are starting to lock their minds into the will of God, aren't they? People are coming to Christ. People's lives are being changed. Great and mighty things are happening as people begin to put their trust in their Heavenly Father. Amen? Isn't that exciting? It's so much more exciting to be involved in God, isn't it? It's so much more exciting to see what God can do. Amen. That's good stuff. I don't know if you're enjoying it, but I am. This is important to us to realize that we need to realize that we are not the answer. That our thoughts, our ways, our decisions, our plans are not going to make us happy. Are we? How many of you have made plans that didn't turn out so good? Want a show of hands? How many of you have had plans that didn't turn out so good? I was watching this thing the other day. This movie was going on, and this woman gave this woman some horrible advice. And it wasn't 10 minutes until she was giving her some more advice. It didn't matter that last advice was really cruddy. She just gave her some more advice. She still had confidence in her advice. I thought, what's going on here? Why are you talking? The last thing you said was really stupid. Why are you still talking? You're still telling people what to do. You can't even run your own life. Your own life is a mess. And here you are talking to this other lady, telling her what she ought to do. And the other lady was listening. And that's what really blew my mind. I thought, why are you listening to this woman? Well, she's my friend. Are you sure? And it says to us that if we will acknowledge God and His brilliance and His love and His power and His abilities, if we will acknowledge those things and say, okay, God, I want what You have to offer. I want Your plan. I want Your thoughts. I want Your decisions. I want Your wisdom in my life. And then He starts to direct my plans. And when He does, my life turns out dynamic. Amen. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do zip. What's not that one zip in there? Nada. Nothing. Sure I can. Watch me. Well, that didn't amount to much. There's a way that seems right to me, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, how wrong can you get? There's a way that seems right to me, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I could make a mistake here with that kind of thinking, with being that far off. Things are not going to add up for me with that type of approach, because what I've done is I have detached myself from the vine. And I'm leaning on my own understanding. And then you know what I do? God, why in the world did you let this happen to me? I can't believe it. I'm a Christian. I'm your child. And here I am in this mess. Why in the world did you let that happen to me? Anybody ever been there? I won't ask for a show of hands on this one. But I've been there lots of times wondering, how did this happen? How in the world did I get into this mess? I detached myself from that flow of the power and the presence of God. I detached myself from all that God had to offer me. I detached myself from that relationship that He wanted to build in me. I detached myself from it. And when I did, I lost out on those things that He had to offer. An intimate relationship with God is the answer to all of our needs. Amen. If you remain in me, still talking about the same thing. He's talking about this intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's talking about an intimate relationship with our Savior. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, now it comes. Now it appears. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Because my prayers are out of relationship with God. And we get upset with Christianity. We get upset with God. We get upset with the Word of God. Because we take these promises and we bring them to God and say, here, answer this. And it's out of touch with God's will for our life. I was riding along in a car. Actually, I was driving. And I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex riding along there on the highway. And all of a sudden, God started to show me. I'd been doing some real research on the sovereignty of God. And God started revealing to me that I wasn't as in control as I thought I had been. I came from a training and a denominational concept that I would take the promises of God, and I had all of these promises all memorized and laid out, so that if this happened in my life, then I would take this promise to God and say, okay, this is a promise that you made, fulfill it. And so then if something else happened in my life, my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory, and I'd take that promise and I'd hold it before God and say, you promised this, now honor it. And I've been doing that for years. It was like a spoiled brat, just demanding of his parent, do this, do this. And that relationship that I had with God was starting to deteriorate. There were some things that I had happened in my life that were starting to tear me up. Things were starting to fall apart, and God wasn't answering some of the prayers that I was demanding that He answer. Things were not going in my life well. And God started showing me that there was this group of people called the Israelites, that they went to the promised land and didn't go in, even though God had promised that to them, because they disobeyed God. And I'm telling you, when He revealed that to me at that moment as I was driving down the highway, it felt like needles ran through my entire body. I felt like I had lost everything. I started coming unglued when I realized that I was not in control of my life. Up until then, I felt pretty in control. I thought, all I got to do is take this promise that is written right here in God's Word, and He said it, and He's going to have to fulfill it. And so as long as I had that relationship, I felt pretty secure. But all of a sudden, it was revealed to me that I wasn't in control, that I did not have the power to make those decisions in my life, that it was God's decision of which promises He would apply to me. And I was upset, and I felt like I had lost everything at that moment as I was driving along. And God asked me a question. He said, is your faith in your ability to apply the promises to your life, or is your faith in my ability to take good care of you? Now, I wish at that moment that I could have said, well, yeah, you got a good point there. I trust you. But I didn't. I really didn't. I did not have a relationship with God that was close. My faith really was in me being able to take control over my life. And if I could decide what God was and wasn't going to do for me, if I was in control of all the decisions of my life, then I felt pretty secure and comfortable. And my faith was in my ability to take those promises and manipulate them however I saw fit. But before I got to my destination, I am happy to announce to you that we had that worked out. That I began to realize that I need to have faith in God and not in Him supplying all my needs according to His riches and glory. That I needed to trust Him. I needed to have an intimate relationship with Him. Now, it seems strange to have an intimate relationship with God's Word and not have an intimate relationship with God. That seems strange. Is it strange? It's just such a small, fine concept there. It doesn't seem like it should matter that much one way or the other. It seems like splitting hairs. But if we don't have an intimate relationship with God, we're running our lives. Have you ever heard me play the piano? You are lucky people. Why? Because if I'm in control of that keyboard, then it is not going to be pretty. Why? Because I'm going to push a bunch of wrong keys. Now, all of the keys are there on that keyboard, like all of the scriptures are in the Bible. But if you've got me picking those scriptures, it's going to sound like me playing the piano. It's not going to be pretty because I don't know which scriptures that I need to apply to the individual situations of my life. But when I've got my Heavenly Father deciding, okay, I want you to exercise this scripture, and now I want you to use this scripture, and now we're going to apply this scripture, and now we're going to work this scripture into your life. All of a sudden, my life, my paths, my way of God is dynamic and wonderful because I have my faith in my Heavenly Father. Praise God. We must do what God wants done, when God wants it done, where God wants it done, the way God wants it done. And you could also in ministry add to whom God wants it done. That's the timing of God. That's a relaxed relationship with our Heavenly Father, to where that He comes into that element in our lives of control. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He Who is that? That's not doing anything on his own. The Holy Spirit. Do you see the relationship of the Holy Spirit and Jesus with the Father? Everything about the Godhead is pointing to this intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that the Holy Spirit is going to help us cry out, Abba, Father, or Dear Father. He's going to bring us into a place where that our hearts start to feel so close to our Heavenly Father. We're going to get to this place to where that we so trust Him and put our dependency upon Him that we let Him run our lives. On the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in the upper room. Now, there could have been 121. But number 121 missed it. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know where they were going. I don't know what they were thinking about. I don't know how they planned their life, but they didn't show up. On the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in the upper room. And those 120 people experienced the presence and power of the Holy Spirit filling their lives. And the number 121 didn't. Jesus said to those disciples, stay in Jerusalem until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And number 121 said, what does he know? I got other things to do. And they leaned on their own understanding, and they planned their lives, and they went their own way, and they weren't there when Peter stood up and preached such a dynamic sermon to the power of the Holy Spirit that 3,000 people came to Christ. I don't want to miss that, do you? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me. You know what happens to me in my mouth whenever I start to follow God and I know that God is the one that's leading my life and something miraculous happens? I know it was God. I know I didn't do it. I don't try to take credit for it. I don't get into pride and get cast down by the devil. I am all into the fact that I waited on the Lord and he heard my cry and he used me in a mighty way for his glory and honor. But they that wait upon the Lord, is that exciting or what? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at that eagle. Does that look like fun? Doesn't that look exciting? Just be up there soaring. That's what your life is like. This is the direction that we're going. This is why God is starting to use you in a mighty way, is because you've started waiting on him. You've started putting your dependency upon him. You've started allowing him to run your life. It's a little disconcerting sometimes when he won't do what we ask him to do, when we hold up certain promises and when we find them not coming the way we'd like for them to. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what I want for my life. Once we come under God's control, John 7 38 says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Is that worth waiting on? Is that worth waiting on? Is that worth waiting on?
Yes.
I tell you, we got more and more joining this thing right here by the minute. Is that worth waiting on? All right, sounding like a unanimous decision. We as a church are waiting on the Lord, amen?
Amen.
We as a church are waiting on the Lord, amen?
Amen?
We as a church are putting our dependency upon him and not leaning on our own understanding, amen?
Amen?
And once we make that commitment, once we say that amen, something happens in your heart. Once you hear yourself say amen to those concepts, something happens in your mind. Once you make that commitment, there's a change in the way you think. You feel that commitment. You can feel the presence and power of God anointing that decision, can't you? Let's say it again. We, as a church, are waiting upon the Lord. Let's say it again. We, as a church, are waiting upon the Lord, and he will renew our strength. We will mount up with the wings of eagles. Praise God. What we want to do this morning is spend some time letting God tell us what we need to hear. What I want to ask you to do, wherever you are standing, I'm asking you to just bow your heads and close your eyes and say, God, what's your plan for my life? What's your plan for my life? Now, you may not get that answer today. You may not get it tomorrow. But one thing can happen. If you will wait on the Lord, you'll start to hear. God, I want your plan for my life. Just say it to him. God, I want your plan for my life. I want what you can do rather than how I can arrange it. Just talk to him. Just tell him that you want him running your life. Tell him that you want him to take all the knowledge you have of the Bible, all the knowledge you have of Christianity, all of the experiences that you've experienced, that you want to put them into his hands and say, run these things for me. God, I want your plan for my life. And just let him take control of your life. There are some of you this morning that you feel extremely stressed out. You feel frustrated. You're very unhappy with the way your life's going. Hand it over to God. Just take your hands and go through the motions of handing it over to him. Just take your hands and just go in a motion of handing it over. Say, here's my life. And just hand it over to him. I trust you. I believe in you. I believe that you're going to do awesome things with my life. I believe in you. I trust you. I know for a fact that you can do this better than I can. Just talk to him like that. Just tell him, you're smarter than me. You're more powerful than me. You love me more than I do myself. You've made more sacrifices for me than I can for myself. I trust you. I believe in you. Here's my life. Here's the plans for my life. Here's the decision-making power of my life. And I hand it over to you. I turn it over to you. I let you have those things in my life. This is a turning point in the moments of your life. This is that day when you can just start walking down an entirely different path to a greater degree than ever before in your entire life. You turn your life over to God. You say, God, even though I'm a Christian, I still find major flaws. I still find major problems. I'm still going through massive difficulties in various areas of my life. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to take them.